But coming back to St. Margaret's School, we decided to put in for a grant to put on an art exhibition in October here at St. Cuthbert's, displaying some 900 exhibits. Now, if you're going to put on 900 exhibits, which is why I think we won the grant, because I think that was quite attractive for mm-hmm. the City of Edinburgh, showing obviously the history, some of the famous people, famous sites.
I think the most important thing is having a space where everyone can really come together as a community. Mm-hmm. So we hopefully we'll have a lot of representation from different members of the city, and just having kind of an open and welcoming space okay. where people can come to relax, to contemplate about the city, to celebrate together. That will be really important
yes,
for us.
Yeah.
Faith at the Fringe, a Sanctuary First podcast series. Uncovering God in the creative arts. At the biggest international arts festival in the world, Sanctuary First stops to ask, where does faith and art meet?
Hello everybody, and welcome to Faith at the Fringe podcast for 2024. We're excited about yeah. this one. You haven't yet met my friend here. This is Aloho FMI, mm-hmm. and you are the owner, the founder, the extraordinaire of Heartsong Live.
I am,
yep.
yes.
And Aloho and I met at Refuel Christian Festival, and we interviewed you, and you interviewed me for your radio station, yeah, and I just thought, yes. Let's do one of these Faith at the Fringe podcasts together. And friends, it's the last one.
Aww.
This is, I know, we're finishing off with a bang. It's episode 11. As we have been exploring Faith at the Fringe, is there a place for Faith at the Fringe? What is the place of Faith at the Fringe? And how does art bridge the gap, or does it indeed bridge the gap between church and community, and opening up those conversations to think about creatives and culture and the interplay there between faith and art, or music or drama and performances and everything that is just wonderfully creative and cultural
yeah.
That we get to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So apart from having yourself with us,
yeah.
we also have two super guests to finish up with. So welcome to Martin and to Erin.
Thank you.
We have Martin Pierce from St. Cuthbert's Parish Church, where we have been based for all of these podcasts. And Martin is also the secretary and the treasurer for the Ukrainian St. Margaret's Saturday School. I put my teeth in. I got it. I was quite pleased with that. And Erin, you're also with us. Erin Mantle is a fifth-year fine arts student with Edinburgh Arts College.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
Great. And also the art intern for St. Cuthbert's Parish Church.
Yes.
For the second time.
Second time, yes.
Wow. So we are absolutely delighted to have you both.
Yeah.
And you,
yeah.
of course.
I'm so delighted to be here, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to exploring that conversation with you all, but especially with Erin and Martin, about the place of church and art mm-hmm. and community and faith and hopes and challenges and for all the generations. And so that is what we're looking forward to in this podcast. That's what you have got coming up in store. But why delay?
Mm-hmm.
Why delay, Aloho? Shall we just get
let's just go right in, and I think I'll just really love to hear from Martin, and how, even though I'm itching to hear Erin's story of, you know, the inspiration behind fine arts, but if you could just give us a bit of a background, and yeah,
certainly pleased to do that. Well, the reason I'm sitting here is that about a year ago, the Ukrainian St. Margaret Saturday School started up with a group of six Ukrainian teachers, all volunteers. But if you're running a school which was aiming at bringing Ukrainian children together from ages 5 to 18 mm-hmm. on Saturdays to learn their own language, learn their customs, their history, also to improve their English language skills and so on, you need a group of trustees around them. You can't do schools in this country without good governance, and that's right, and a charity number and so on. So three of us, including the minister here, Peter Sutton, and one of our very able ladies, Kirsten Coy, and myself, helped set up the general trustees. We are the chief fundraisers. And I'm delighted to say the children's school has gone extremely well. We've had up to 40 to 50 coming most Saturdays, including in the worst of winters. We're very generous. We're very pleased that the generosity of George Herriot School is where the classrooms take place. And here we do some of the social work and extracurricular activities, including, of course, a Christmas party.
Oh, yeah, I love Christmas.
And an end-of-year prize-giving event, which was just wonderful in June when the children were speaking in Ukrainian and English, singing songs in English, Ukrainian, poetry in English and Ukrainian, and entertained over 100 people. About that time, back in June, we became very much aware that Edinburgh 900 was quick upon us. Yeah. Celebrating the 900th anniversary of Edinburgh becoming a royal borough. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. A royal borough.
A royal borough. Maybe. Not a city, but a royal borough.
900.
There weren't many 900 years ago. And interesting enough, St. Cuthbert's was here before Edinburgh became a city.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Starting up about 650 when the first St. Cuthbert's church was built here. Probably a wooden shack, we think. And we progressed because we now, it's about our seventh or eighth building here. But coming back to St. Margaret's School, we decided to put in for a grant to put on an art exhibition in October here at St. Cuthbert's, displaying some 900 exhibits. Now, if you're going to put on 900 exhibits, which is why I think we won the grant, because I think that was quite attractive for the city of Edinburgh, showing obviously the history, some of the famous people, famous sites of Edinburgh, you need a very smart person to organise that. Now, your people will realize I am not a smart person, but I do know smart people. And one of the smart people I know is Erin, sitting here alongside me. Erin had worked for us before as an art intern when we organized COP26, had 600 exhibits that time. And 600? I was delighted when Art said she still had one more year to go.
Mm.
And so Erin and I are trying to organize on behalf of the Ukrainian St. Margaret School and St. Cuthbert's, an exhibition here for some 900 exhibits in October, between the 19th and the 25th of October, so we put it on for a week. And the great thing about the art exhibition, it's open for everyone, so it could be the most basic artist like me, drawing matchstick men, all the way to professional artists like Erin, and Erin will tell you about how we're organizing the art exhibition. But it is a fundraising event also for the Ukrainian school. It's entirely by voluntary support that we get. There's no public money involved. And the wonderful thing about faith and children and schools is they come together. And money does come out. I won't say it pours in, but people do give sacrificially and generously. And two of our big donors were local Church of Scotland, and what you will not be surprised to hear, a lot of pensioners and other people just hearing about the Ukrainian school, obviously with the plight of the Ukrainians going on, remembering they're all refugees. We managed to raise over £10,000, and this next year, we're going into a second year, starting on the 31st of August, we have to raise nearly £20,000. And I think that's where God comes into all this, because God makes people generous givers.
Oh, he really does.
But I think that's enough for me as an introduction. Is that okay as a picture?
Yeah. Really loved that. And just hearing your, you know, the journey so far, really inspiring as well. Yeah.
Well, I think God brings a lot of people together. Peter Sutton, our minister here, Hannah, our director of education, the six Ukrainian teachers. And remember, because the children have to come out on a Saturday morning, a lot of them are teenagers. You know about teenagers. Coming to school on a Saturday morning when it's voluntary at 8:45 in January is not popular with teenagers. But they've come, they've stayed with it. And they are learning and growing in confidence. And of course, in the background of all this, just to touch on a sad note for a moment, some of the children have lost dads in the war. So we're coping with the trauma in the background. Now, you would not know that, looking at the children, where they smile and enjoy everything. Perhaps they appreciate life more. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Christian community and a lot of people from the secular community are supporting the school. And we hope they'll do so again. And one way of doing it, of course, is to come and see the art exhibition in October.
Nice plug.
I never miss a plug.
That was nice. But actually, what an incredibly good work that you're involved with.
Well, I'm just one of many.
Yeah. But it's a heartbeat in the church, isn't it? It's a heartbeat that God's put in there to care for others. And the other thing that I really love is that as a church, you are interested in being involved in what is going on in our community and society, whether it be COP26 or indeed the Ukrainians now. And you've been looking at using art as a way to do that. And Erin, this is where I'm thinking you come in.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got the art exhibition from COP26 and we've got the art exhibition for Edinburgh 900. Isn't that the name of the exhibition?
Yes.
So, you know, that is really interesting that it's art in particular that you're using in this way in order to have a voice in saying the church cares about these issues. So, I know that you've come in as a fine art student and you're the art intern here. So what is your heart, art and heart, what's your heart for, in particular, the Edinburgh 900 exhibition?
I think as Martin pointed out, we really wanted to hone in on the fact that the exhibition is open for absolutely everyone to submit their work to. It's really important to have such an open kind of community space, which we're trying to make. And art's such a good way to kind of make that happen. It's such a powerful method of storytelling. And just, it would be a really nice backdrop to hear so many different stories and opinions and just memories of the city within one space.
So it's open for not just for everybody to come to, but actually you're looking for people to contribute to this. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So it's an open call exhibition looking for 900 artworks.
900. Wow.
So we're really keen for members of the Edinburgh community and beyond to be submitting work, whether that's working with charities across the city, schools, and also individuals as well.
And different forms of art, you say?
Yeah, we're open to any type of art.
Okay. Which means you can exhibit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And you can exhibit, Ruth.
I could come. I could come speak. I could sing,
please.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be great.
I could bring you a pair of muddy shoes. Actually, there is a memory of Edinburgh. I grew up in Edinburgh. And I have great memories, actually, of plodding through the grass in the gardens here on many rainy summer days. So maybe muddy shoes is quite apt. But so tell us a little bit more about the pieces of art that you've already received.
So we've got quite a few submissions from different kind of community groups across the city at the moment, whether it's them kind of more telling their stories as a community group and what they do for the city of Edinburgh and individuals within the city. We've also got schools focusing more on the history of Edinburgh, which is really exciting. So it's just going to be a great space of kind of storytelling and an overview of 900 years of Edinburgh.
Gosh, that really sounds fascinating.
It does. And I'm just thinking, you know, when you have 900 different forms of art, what are you hoping will be the impact, you know, on the people who come to view, and even the people who are exhibiting as well? What's the impact you're hoping to make on audiences?
I think the most important thing is having a space where everyone can really come together as a community. So we hopefully will have a lot of representation from different members of the city, and just having kind of an open and welcoming space where people can come to relax, to contemplate about the city, to celebrate together. That would be really important for us.
Yeah.
And so thinking then, when you are reaching, I mean, I'm assuming you're reaching out to folk in terms of asking about it. But so my first question is, how are you doing that? And then also, are you doing it as the church, or is it something else? I'm just curious to know how the church fits in with that relationship too. So, first of all, it was about are you out kind of the outreach type
thing? So we're really lucky with our COP26 exhibition 3 years ago. We made so many valuable contacts from that exhibition, and so many members of the community were really willing to help out and display work. So that was a great starting point for this exhibition, and we're really lucky to have them submitting again and showing their artwork. But yeah, we are representing the Ukrainian St. Margaret Saturday School as well. So it's being kind of clear to people willing to participate who we're representing, our aims of the exhibition, that it will be displayed within the church space as well.
Mm. So what are those aims then?
I think really to have this community space.
Right, so that is together. That the openness that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The inclusiveness.
I think one of the things that gave us a lot of pleasure last time and will do this time is the homeless can exhibit artworks. And we actually put on a couple of painting days or artist days for the homeless here. Mm-hmm. We already feed 100 homeless people in the chancel area on a Sunday evening and a Monday evening. And we'll run an art painting class alongside that. So they can come in. The dementia groups, a lot of dementia groups now do art groups. Mm. And we again invite them. And then what was again a huge pleasure last time, and we'll see it again this time, was young children exhibiting art in, I call it an international art exhibition, because in October there are hundreds of people from all around the world, because Edinburgh is nearly a 12-month tourist city.
It is, yeah.
And so we do have a huge number of visitors. And to see 5-7-year-olds showing off their painting or their picture, some of which is very good, by the way. A lot of the art teachers in our local schools are very great motivators. So the children, you know, go to a lot of trouble about their artworks. And I say to them, you're showing it off at an international art expo, which is no exaggeration, because we'll have over 1,000 people come through the doors that week. And probably half of them are from around Europe and beyond.
Yeah, so it's like giving people an opportunity for their voices to be heard. You know, people who ordinarily would not be in such platforms, but this exhibition is making a way for their voices to be heard through their stories, through their artwork and whatever art form. It's just such a brilliant, you know, because I'm all about amplifying voices, giving a voice to the voiceless and providing a platform. And this is just such a brilliant way to
See, all your listeners can take part if they wish.
Yeah.
They don't have to live in Edinburgh. All they have to do is come up with an Edinburgh theme of something that they've enjoyed about visiting Edinburgh or something. So, again, just staying with the art, one of the things I learned, because I'm not a professional artist in any shape or form, but it's a way people express themselves without words.
Mm.
And words often are quite awkward or clumsy.
Yeah.
But art, you can see the joy of art expressed. And even, as I say, people who are suffering dementia, different mental issues or whatever, they all can express themselves. Mm. And they do.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most challenging group last time was the blind school. They produce some lovely artwork, sculptures actually, and they just so enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And all they could do was feel their artwork, but they were very pleased to be participating, and hopefully Erin will get them back again.
Yes, definitely.
I think so.
So my question for you, Erin, I mean, this is your second time interning here. What made you come back?
I mean, it's such a great opportunity to be involved within Edinburgh's community within this way. What I found when I first came to St. Cuthbert's 3 years ago now is I just started my second year of university. My first year was during COVID, so it wasn't so much, there wasn't a lot of kind of communication and I didn't feel very involved within the city of Edinburgh. So having this space here to really get to know the community was really important to me and something that I find really valuable. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity to be back again 3 years later to be involved again.
Amazing stuff. So how's it going to run from the 19th to the 25th of October, you say?
Yes.
What's going to happen? Just some details so that, you know, everyone who's watching this podcast can look forward to, what's going to happen through the day.
Well, let me answer the practicals. On the Saturday and Sunday, we're open from 12 o'clock to 4:30. 12 o'clock is our grand opening that everyone's invited to.
Is there going to be a big screen?
Yes, the children will be doing their singing and their poetry, both in Ukrainian and English. And we'll even have a gymnast, because we have a very star gymnast in our group who's just won a Scottish National Award.
Congratulations.
Very high standards to her. So that's on the Saturday. Sunday morning, obviously, we've got Sunday morning worship here. Sunday afternoon, we're open again with the art exhibition. And then from Monday through to Friday, as well as the art exhibition, we have organists, pianists playing as background music, not as a concert.
Okay.
But it adds to the ambience.
Yeah.
And again, it gives us a chance to have what you might call professional organists play, but also we can invite the schools, if they wish, to provide some instrumentalists to come and play. Going back to COVID, a lot of that generation didn't have chance to play in public places. Well, this generation children have that chance. And because we're open from 10:30 to 4:30 each day, we can invite the schools to bring their music groups and play if they wish. And I'm hoping that will take off.
Yeah.
And then you're beginning to combine music and art and a welcoming space, because the sanctuary of St. Cuthbert's is a beautiful church. And looking straight at the camera, just from, if you've never been here, please come, because you've got a whole week of opportunities. Yeah. And if you say you're too busy working, paying all those taxes, keeping me in a nice lifestyle that I've come accustomed to, then on the Friday evening, we have a closing ceremony, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, when we hope, of course, all the art exhibitors, all the people who've been helping Erin, because Erin is actually curating it all. She's got to organize 900 exhibits. How would you do that?
I'm just imagining.
One at a time, I'm thinking.
Big responsibility.
But what I'm hearing from you is that as a faith community, as a church, that you recognize the value of art in terms of bridging the gap between church and community, celebrating what is happening in part of the community. You know, Edinburgh 900, COP26, that's being involved with what's happening in relevant ways. You also talk about it being therapeutic and being helpful. You know, you're touching there about how it can really lift and help folks when they're perhaps quite down and needing that place of hope. So it leads me to then thinking, okay, what about faith then? You know, do you see, and Erin, I'm curious to hear from yourself as a fine arts student as well, as well as an intern here. You know, how do you find spirituality or faith motivating or being expressed through either your own artwork or indeed some of the exhibits that come along for the exhibition?
I mean, yeah, I feel like faith and art do really go hand in hand. Even just the process of making art is such a kind of state of contemplation. It's really important to kind of acknowledge that as well. And also being involved with these different groups, people bringing artwork into the space and just understanding how they create behind that. I think it's such a lovely thing to see. It's just as important, the kind of process of making art, as it is displaying the art and showing it to other people. And just having that in mind all the time is really great.
And Martin, for you then, when you've got the art exhibitions and you're engaging with the wider community through art, what impact do you see on the church life?
The biggest impact is making relationships. And of course, in many ways, we're meeting people on their ground. It's all in the place of the church. But just think about it for a moment. We will have over 1,000 people come through the door. Most of them, obviously, are non-churchgoers.
Yeah.
And yet we, the church, and we, St. Margaret's School, are providing the leadership to bring them all together. And all of a sudden, it changes people's perspective of Christians and churchgoers, who, after all, the facilitators, the good people of St. Cuthbert's, you know, are funding all this in terms of providing the church and so on. So it brings people together very much in God's name. And I think one of the lovely things is we had quite a number of homeless people came last time just because they wanted a place of safety, a warmth, a welcome. We provide free, you'll love this bit, looking at the camera again, free coffee, everybody. Free coffee. They must come, mustn't they?
I know.
Do you know the price of coffee in this country, in this capital city of ours? So we provide free coffee. So it's a safe space. And once again, it's the Church of Scotland in this case, providing the leadership, but of course welcoming our friends from the Muslim community, all the faiths and none. Mm-hmm. There aren't many places you can go to that says everyone is welcome. And because it's free entrance, where else can you go that's free?
Yeah.
Even free coffee. And they get the chance to meet Erin, which will be terrific.
So, Erin, coming back to you then as well. So we're hearing about the impact in the church there and how art can be used as a way to, as a connecting, as that bridge, and not just a bridge, but actually to really benefit church and life and individuals and community. And I'm just wondering, how does that translate for you into university with other young adults? Do you find it difficult to be a person of faith in the artistic community? Are there challenges? Is it easy? Do people understand? Or, I'm just curious to hear from you what the impact of kind of faith-motivated art might have in the younger generations.
Yeah, I mean, as I touched on briefly before, back in 2021, having that kind of involvement with St Cuthbert's alongside my university studies was really beneficial for me to feel connected within the city of Edinburgh. And I think it's really easy as a young person to kind of slip out of connection within the space you're living in, especially if you're studying away from where you're brought up. So it's definitely really important to have these spaces that are available there. It can be quite daunting at first, I think, but having this kind of community around is really beneficial.
And do you see art as a way that church can possibly connect with other young adults?
I think it could definitely be a great way. From the response within the exhibition last time and this time already, we've got so many kind of younger people exhibiting as well. Having the space of St Cuthbert's is also a great platform for people to show their artwork. It's such a kind of prevalent space within Edinburgh that so many people from the Edinburgh community and beyond come into. So just having this kind of space of display as well is really great. Mm-hmm.
It's lovely to just have that thought as well about it being a platform for others.
For
young aspiring artists to show, which I don't know about you, but it gets me thinking, what's next?
I know. I was just like, wow, I think I'm blown away, that the church is actually putting this sort of, event and initiative to bring people in. And I kept thinking about the Good Samaritan who just, And so it's such a beautiful thing. And just hearing you speak, even as a young adult, because I know the challenges our young adults face, but using art to invite them into church is just brilliant. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. We're so thankful for what you're doing. But I'm still left with that question. What next?
What's
so you've
more?
Got Edinburgh 900. And I get the impression that but Martin and Erin, both of you are people that are full of God dreams. Wonderful, great big God ambition. So I'm beyond Edinburgh 900. Have you even thought about that? Or are you kind of going, we could build and develop and grow? Well, what's coming next?
I think there's all sorts of ideas running around in our minds. We probably haven't articulated, but for instance, there's no reason why the student community couldn't use St. Cuthbert's regularly for art groups or a cafe. Things we've talked about in the past is opening the church on a Friday evening for a cafe culture. Again, art could be the common theme and so on and so forth. All these conversations become possible because people are coming as volunteers. They're here. They're not mandated to come. Mm-hmm. They're seeing the sort of work we're doing with the children of the Ukrainian school. Some of Erin's peer group will be along. And I think because God is in the midst of all that conversation, people come together and we're great when we come together and work together. And it's just such a wonderful sanctuary for those conversations. And I think there'll be a natural flow. Whether Erin will want to set up a group for her or her end of year, they may want to do a final exhibition for the students of Edinburgh University in an art college. All these things become possible, but only because, unlike a Sunday morning, we get chance to meet them, talk to them.
Where they
and
are,
guess what? Yeah. They find out we're human.
I know.
Do you know what? I'm with you. Good things happen when people meet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good things happen when people meet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had an inkling that you might have some good thoughts about where this might go. And what about for you, Erin? What's your kind of hopes in terms of Edinburgh 900 and beyond? Is there something from Edinburgh 900 in particular that you are hoping comes from it?
I think really pushing the kind of community aspect is really important, to have such a good amount of representation of people from across the city all in one space where we can all celebrate together, mm-hmm. and to kind of keep this connection going between these different groups. And as I said, we're really lucky to have contacts from the previous exhibition who are helping us again. Just to keep those relationships running across the community is something that would be great.
What a talent. What a gift. I mean, not only being talented and gifted with your art as an artist, but also to have that heart desire as well, and understanding, you know, it's about bringing the strands together, not just the colours mm-hmm. on the palette, but actually bringing the people as colours together as well. It's
just hearing how speak, you can tell she's so big on community and connection, because I can count how many times you used community connection. So that's really important to you.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What an incredible conversation. What are you taking away from today, Aloha?
Community, connection, and then meet people where they are. You know, and like he was saying, that we're humans, you know, because sometimes when you are in church, people just like, oh, these church people, but, you know, using every kind of gifting, every talent, everything creative. As you were speaking some time back, I was just thinking, I think God is the master creative with everything that he's created, but really it's just engaging people where they are and making them feel welcome. Whatever it is you have, bring it. And I'm sure the master is just waiting with open arms to receive you.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's just that whole gift of hospitality isn't it? Yes, we've heard that from you, Martin, so clearly, about just opening the arms that are clearly your arms are being opened, and the churches, because you know that's the arms of Jesus. They're wide open to love folk. And
wide open, and everyone is welcome. And what I didn't say is the sanctuary is all on one floor, so people in wheelchairs, obviously is a ramp into the church. It's all on one floor. Everything is easy.
Oh, I love that.
That's so good.
Yeah. And what the tourists like in particular are access to toilets. So there you are.
Right, so
they've
got free
coffee. They've got everything.
Free coffee and toilets. But apart from free coffee and toilet, friends, what you find here is not just a church that is ready and welcome to open all, but they are actioning this. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're putting it in action. You're letting love look like something. And it's just phenomenal what you're doing with it. So please come and do see the art exhibition when it comes, and have a chat with Erin, because you'll be here, I'm sure.
Yes, I'll be there.
And Martin, no doubt, as well. And I think for me, one of my takeaways from this is just that incredible inspiration to hear the people of faith responding to what is happening in and around us in the way that God has created you as a community, and the gifts that are there to do and to grow and to flourish. It's just brilliant. So every blessing to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Aloha, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yes. I've had fun.
And God bless you too.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
We're doing high fives all around the table, so I can't give them actually to you as you watch us. Well, you might not even hear us actually if you're only on audio, but we are so thankful for this time together. Thankful that you have joined us. Thankful that God has blessed us with this opportunity and this platform where we can have these conversations. Whether you know God yet or you don't, you are always welcome at his table. So thank you for joining us for Faith at the Fringe 2024. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.